You are listening to the Fly the W670 podcast, episode AZ of season number 3. In Jed we trust. Don't forget, listen, download, review, subscribe to the Fly the W podcast. Feel free, leave us a 5-star review. You can email us, flythew670@gmail.com. Don't forget, you can watch us on 670 The Score's YouTube page. Last episode, Crawley, we were discussing the first half of El Presidente, Jed Hoyer's press conference. Today, we will take a listen to a couple of other cuts from that press conference.
Yeah, this was a weird, I mean, I don't expect Jed to, you know, give us all the answers right away at a press conference. Sometimes you wonder why they even do these things, to be honest. But they asked him what his offseason plan was, you know, and here's what Jed had to tell us.
Well, we haven't truly gotten into our offseason planning mode yet. So, I think characterizing what we're going to do this winter, I think it's too early for that. You know, I think in general, I think the goal is to build something that's sustainable. You know, Craig actually talked about, you know, building, you know, 90 win teams. What he really means is, you know, building teams that can project that year after year after year. That's a difficult thing to do. Only 3 teams in baseball were projected for 90 wins going into the season. So to get to a place where we can build our projections up and consistently make the postseason year after year, you know, I think there's a level of discipline to do that. You don't want to take wild swings, and you don't want to do things that are going to expose you long term. I think the goal here is getting to a place where the playoffs are an expectation every single year, that we're in a position to be to sustain success. I think we did that before. I think we got to a place where we, you know, we made the playoff, I think 6 out of 7 years. I think in doing that, we probably did take some chances. I think that led to a little bit of a trough here, but I do think that, you know, getting back to just making good decisions on a long-term basis, drafting and developing well, I think truly having a healthy organization can lead us to that sustained success where.
So Dustin, when he talks about drafting and developing, clearly that's a really good way to go. And that's what you see the Milwaukee Brewers do. That's what the Cardinals used to do so well. But to me, first off, don't tell me you haven't been planning or plotting in September.
Oh, exactly.
When you knew this team was going to be.
Yeah, well, that's the part I don't like. You don't have to tell me what the plan is. You don't have to tell me, and I don't expect you to tell me what the plan is. But don't, if you haven't, then you're not doing your job.
Right.
Right. You're not doing your job.
Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. I mean, you clearly you clearly had a plan of some type. You know what direction you want to go. But did you hear him say wild swings? Would you consider Juan Soto or Shohei Ohtani a wild swing? Like, I feel like Theo was more the gambler and Jed's more the conservative kind of guy. And I think he gets squeamish when it comes to big contracts. I mean, wild swing would be like, you know, taking a huge shot on somebody that just had one good year. Juan right. Soto hasn't had one good year. Juan Soto's put together a body of
work. One good career.
Right. Shohei Ohtani's put together a body of work. I don't see it. Did you feel like that was a huge risk for the Dodgers to take Shohei Ohtani for what they spent? I mean,
no, he's been worth every dime and maybe, and crazy as it sounds to say, even maybe more.
I mean,
right?
It's just,
he's already out delivering and he's not even pitching this year.
I just think for Cub fans, it's like, take a swing, Jed, go for something, be aggressive. And yes, you have to constantly develop. And I think the Dodgers do it better than anybody. It is what the model for the Cubs should be, where you can draft, develop, trade, and sign those superstars when you need to do it. The Brewers can't do that. The Brewers can't sign the superstars, right? And so they have to draft and constantly develop and trade, but they can't sign the superstars. And that's where the Cubs should have an advantage over everybody in the NL Central. You know, Dustin, there were some Black Mondays after the season ended. There were some coaching staff movements that were going on here, and it was Jesse Rogers who first kind of broke it. The Cubs let go of first base coach Mike Napoli. He was a big David Ross guy. Hitting coach Jim Aducci, who also was he was assistant hitting coach, so Dustin Kelly is still fine. Bullpen coach Darren Holmes was let go. Napoli was the big news, but to me, the strength and conditioning people, the Cubs had a miserable year with injuries. And I'm not saying those people are to blame, the strength and conditioning people, but I thought it was.
But it's easy to blame them, right?
It's interesting that that's where you kind of went to let go a couple people. And so Jed was asked about Craig Counsell and whether the coaching staff, if they're done making moves or some of the moves that they made.
He did come on late. And as a result, you know, didn't have a chance to really put a staff together. And, you know, obviously, you know, part of hiring a manager like him is giving him the ability to build his staff. So we did make a couple of changes to the coaching staff and in with the strength and conditioning group. And I think we'll continue to, you know, think through how we build the best staff around him possible. I think, you know, when it comes to processes, when it comes to all that, I expect him to be deeply involved in everything we do this off season. He'll be coming down to the office. He's always on the phone, but I think a big part of hiring him is to have him to be part of those conversations and be part of those processes. And I think he will be all winter.
So when you look at that, I mean, we still have Willie Harris is still on the team. You know what I mean? That's something. Dustin Kelly, the hitting coach. We said Tommy Hotovy's probably not going anywhere. John Maley, assistant hitting coach, is still there. So, you know, the question is, are there going to be more moves? Ryan Flaherty, who is the bench coach, who is very thought of very highly around the league. I've heard his name kicked around for some of the job openings. That'll be something to watch as well. But it'll be interesting to see Craig put his staff together. Jed was asked about payroll. Everybody wants to know about payroll. So here's what he had to say.
I think that's kind of part of October. I think that we haven't got into the budget process yet. And I think that's something that we'll be discussing a lot, over the next 3 or 4 weeks. So, I think this month, you know, will be used to figure out exactly our direction this off season. And obviously payroll is part of it.
I'm wondering, Dustin, where are they going to go? Are they going to try to get back under the luxury tax this year? You know, are they going to try to make a big move? You were asking earlier about a pitcher, maybe like Corbin Burns front end. Those are all questions that are going to be interesting.
Well, and what's really going to be interesting, Crawley, is what exactly is going to happen with Cody Bellinger, right? Is he opting in? Is he opting out? I think that will have a big part of what the Cubs are actually going to be able to do.
Yeah. Now the other thing to keep in mind is that there's going to be a lot of money coming off the books. We're still, you know, you're paying Trey Mancini and a whole bunch of other people that are getting paid that didn't play a single game for the Cubs this season. And that just happens, right? That's not to say, you know, oh my God, this is horrible. But that happens. There's guys that you let go. There's guys that you cut. You know, so that'll be interesting to kind of see which guys are going, you know, what the budget's going to be. The Cubs, you know, they still drew well this year, but I just wonder if they're going to want to get back under that salary cap. When we look here, you know, the question is the farm system, Dustin. These guys continue to improve. You continue to have guys, and we're going to talk about in the top 100 of baseball prospects. All of these things are going to be popping up here. And so, the trouble now is a lot of these guys are starting to hit AAA, right? Mm-hmm. So when you talk about some of the really, really good players, they're all going to be in AAA. Matt Shaw, Cade Horton, Owen Casey, Kevin Alcantara, Moises Ballesteros, James Triantos, all these people are going to be there. The question is how long you want to keep them there, or do you think you can use them to get, you know, let's say a Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? So well, here's Jed on the farm system.
Yeah, I mean, it's something we've talked about in this room a lot that, you know, there's really two currencies. You know, when you think about a front office, you've got, you know, financial flexibility and you've got young players. And young players are, in today's game, certainly the, you know, the most valuable currency there is. I think we're really healthy on both sides. You know, when you look at our books long term, they're incredibly clean. I think we have really good contracts on our books. The players that are on deals played really well. And I think obviously we've graduated a lot of guys, and we still have seven top 100 prospects. So I think I'm proud of where we are on both sides of that. I think when it comes to trading young players, I mean, of course, I think that those are things you have to consider, but it has to make sense for the long term. I think, you know, making sure that we're not doing it just for a short term gain. I think that, young players have upside, young players stay healthier. And I think, you know, the last thing we want to do is to get away from building through young players. I think that, Michael Bush this year, you know, Pete this year, I think, you know, showed a glimpse of what young players can do, I think, from an energy standpoint and from an upside standpoint. And we don't want to run away from that. So we'll consider deals that do make sense, that make sense organizationally. But I'm excited about our young players. I think a lot of those guys are going to have a huge impact on the Cubs for a long time.
So no doubt about that. When you look in the playoffs, you see teams like Milwaukee with a lot of young players. You see teams like the Detroit Tigers, I think, have a lot of really good young players. So you don't want to get rid of them. It's just the question of, do the Cubs have financial flexibility to make moves? And if you don't, then you do have to dip into that farm system and trade, right?
All right. Yep. I mean, listen, those guys are going to have a big impact, whether it's with the Cubs, right? With the Cubs, or is it going to be because they traded them and they brought things back?
Right. And two guys that Jed talked about that were acquired in trade. When you talk about Michael Bush, when you talk about PCA,
right.
Bush was, they traded two very young, talented prospects to the Dodgers to get Michael Bush, including Jackson Ferris. And then PCA came over with the Javi Baez deal from New York. And mm-hmm. So Jed was asked about those two guys in particular.
I think taking each guy individually, I think when you look at Michael, really impressive rookie year. I think, first of all, I would start on his defense. I think that, like, you know, after some initial struggles in April, kind of getting back to playing first base, I mean, I think he's going to win Gold Gloves at first. I think he was outstanding over there. I think offensively, I think he ended up at 775 OPS as a rookie, which is really impressive. And, you know, he really struggled at Wrigley. So I think that, you know, if you actually look at his numbers, he probably even had an even better year than it appears when you factor in the park factors and everything. So, and this demeanor, the way he, you know, conducts himself on a daily basis, you know, every veteran that came in and did an exit meeting with us talked about how impressive he was. So that was as good a rookie year as we could have expected. And then with Pete, now obviously he's much younger than Michael, but, you know, coming up to the big leagues, and, you know, kind of being forced into that position, even, you know, he'd kind of struggled this spring. It took him a little while to find his legs. He struggled, even during his struggles. I think he really helped us win games with his defense. But I think the second half of the season, and he deserves all the credit in the world for this, you know, sticking with the process and, you know, continuing to develop. I mean, he showed what he can be in the second half of the season. He played really well offensively. He ran the bases well. His defense was unbelievable. I mean, I think that of all the developments of 2024, I think that, you know, his emergence in the second half should be certainly high on the list of those things. You know, I think that when you look at fielding runs saved for the year, he's really as good as any, you know, fielder in baseball this year. And I think there's actually, like, room to grow for him going forward. So I thought Pete's development was, like I said, really high on the list of our, you know, top things this year. And
I would agree 100% that PCA's second half is something that I'm just hoping no sophomore slump, right? Because Michael Bush, as he talked about, offensively did really good, better on the road than he did at home. He showed the power that you wanted to see. I thought his defense improved every single month. So at the end, I was looking at that guy, and I'm not saying he's Anthony Rizzo or anything like that, but he was picking balls out, making really nice plays. I thought he really looked good, and it probably took him some time, because remember, the Dodgers were using him as a second baseman. Jed right. says, hey, you know, he could potentially win Gold Gloves as a first baseman. Now, I'm sure you will talk about this plenty in the upcoming weeks, but the rumor is, you know, is a question about Nico. You know, if you could get power, let's say you are able to trade and get Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and play him at first and then move Michael Bush to second. You would sacrifice some defense, but you would gain offense, right? Or especially power and slug on that. So I just wonder, you know, what's going to happen. But PCA, when he talked about the age, Michael Bush is 26, which is still pretty young. Dustin, PCA is 22. He could barely buy a beer. And he just looked dynamic offensively in the second half. Defensively, even if he was just a mediocre hitter his whole career, just his defense alone makes him a plus war player. But as far as if he can be what we saw in the second half, if he can occasionally bunt, if he can learn the strike zone even better, there's room to grow offensively. But boy, he just created havoc on the base paths. It was fun to watch him, the triples, the inside the park home run in Miami. I mean, that guy was just electric. So those are two young guys that the Cubs can sit there at the end. And then there's more. Porter Hodge would be in there. Luke Little would be in there. There's other guys that you're going to say, like, wow, this is really a year where you saw a lot of young talent break out.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, and that was that. Listen, that's what you have to hold on to, right, and during this offseason. That's something we have to hold on to as fans, the organization. They're going to use that. They're going to sell that.
Now, as far as when the season started, 2024 started, you and I both had the same question. Where are they going to get the power from? Where is the power going to come from? And that showed, you know, to be a big weakness this year. And so Jed was asked about where addressing the power issue.
That is certainly something that was lacking this year. Like, you know, no one was hitting 30 homers, and we didn't have any one player slugging at a really high level. I do think Seiya, he ended up, you know, top 10 in the National League in OPS, top 20 in baseball. And I do think in general, Wrigley suppressed offense this year, and baseball's offense was suppressed. And I think sometimes we have to readjust the numbers in our head. You know, he was a top 10 guy in OPS in our league. And I just don't think we think about it that way because the numbers aren't 975. It's more of a 860, 850 OPS. So we all have to adjust our sights a little bit, but certainly adding more slug would be beneficial. Especially in today's game, scoring quickly is what you want. It's hard to string hits together, given the pitching today. And so we'll always be looking for more slug.
So Dustin, last year, you take a look, it was Cody Bellinger who had 26 home runs in 2023. This year he had 18, so 10 less. But yeah, just no power. And so it's got to be addressed. You know what Craig Counsell talks about is the 3-run homer, right?
Yeah.
It's just what a difference that can make if you can have a guy that could just put one out. And so they got to do it. Where that power come from, that's going to be a question. Are you going to ask guys to do more, take a step forward, whether it is Michael Bush? Are you asking for Cody Bellinger to have a bounce back year this year to be able to hit some more home runs? But I just don't see where you're going to squeeze more power out there. Most of the guys out there, what they are, what you saw this year is what they are. They're not, I don't see Seiya Suzuki just all of a sudden cracking a whole bunch of more home runs. You get what I'm saying?
Right. He's like a 24, 5, 6 ish guy. Right. The problem is they have there's nobody on this team that's even close to 30 a year.
Right.
Right. Nobody.
Right.
Not one person. Even Cody Bellinger's not that person.
The other, you know, issue that we saw before the season we talked about was the bullpen. We were concerned. You had a lot of young guys in there. And then you also had, you didn't have any lefties. Do you remember when the season started? Like, it was like, who's the lefty out of the bullpen? All of these were just like major issues. Drew Smyly, I mean, like, is he your left-handed, you know, shutdown guy? No. And so the bullpen, they added Hector Neris. That didn't work out, unfortunately.
Didn't work out, no.
But here's Jed's assessment of the bullpen, and he was pretty honest about himself.
Yeah, I mean, being self-critical, I feel like that's something that I didn't do a good job of last offseason. You know, when I look at our bullpen, I'm really proud of the work our whole staff did during the season. I think, you know, talking about, you know, Carter and Jared and everyone, you know, in pro scouting did a really good job, you know, whether it was Tyson Miller, Jorge Lopez, you know, Nate Pearson, you know, player development, bringing up guys like Poor Hodge and Luke Little. I thought in season we did a really good job of that. But, you know, when Adbert struggled early, when Neera struggled early, when Julian got hurt, we didn't have the depth at that point that we needed. And that's something that, you know, I think we'll certainly look to improve going forward because I feel like that hurt us early. We're able to improve it. I think our bullpen numbers second half of the season were really, really strong and among the top in baseball. But, you know, at a critical moment when those guys struggled and were hurt early, we didn't have enough depth in that moment, and that hurt us. So that's something we have to address.
So, Dustin, you know, when you talk about 23 and 24, both seasons, you finished with the same record. You fell short of the playoffs. You can't take the first half off and then kind of get started and be like, okay, we're going to come back and catch up 10 games. There's just too much talent in baseball for that to happen. And so you have to come into the season with a lot of bullpen depth, and they didn't have it. The second guy started struggling and got injured. They had nothing. And that really, really hurt them.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
Right. And so
that's, you know, an understatement, Crowley, that hurt them. That was the Achilles heel, I think, right?
Right. And when you think about all the blown saves, and if you just cut the number in half, you're in the playoffs.
You're in the playoffs, right? You're in the playoffs.
You're not having the press conferences, Jed said. And so as we kind of look, you know, the big, you know, the elephant in the room is superstars, right? Do you need superstars? Do the Cubs need superstars? And thankfully, not only was Jed asked about that, I want to say it was Sahadev Sharma from The Athletic. Sahadev came back and followed up after he didn't feel that Jed really kind of gave a good answer. So it was a great job of really putting his feet to the fire. So here's the first part.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question. I think that, you know, you guys have asked me a few times this year about, do we need a star, like star players, and stars can help get through those slumps. And certainly, you know, Cody was, you know, a top 10 MVP guy, you know, last year, and felt like he played like a 5+ win player for most of the year, and carried us for big stretches. And that really did help us a ton during that stretch. It's a hard thing to figure. I mean, I looked at it, like if you look at the 12 teams in the playoffs, like every team in the playoffs has a guy that had 5 or more wins this year. So there's no question that when you're looking to beat projections, when you're looking to have that excellent season, having players just outperform expectations is a big part of it. But on the flip side of that, you know, of that group, I think like 5 of the 14 5-win players on playoff teams, only 5 of them were projected to be 5 or more win players. The rest of them just had career years. They had fantastic seasons and outperformed. I do think that's something we lacked this year. I think when you look at our season, we had a lot of guys on the team that had good years. They kind of got back to their numbers, like maybe on projection, a hair above, a hair below. You know, no one really had that, you know, carrying year that Cody had last year. And I do think we missed that.
So, you know, he's talking about, okay, well, you know, it's a, you want to make projections and you want these kind of players, but, you know, we need to do better internally. And, you know, guys got their numbers, but it, you know, eventually it was already after, you know, you were falling into a hole. But the issue, Dustin, is what do you do when you are struggling? Do you have somebody that can break it out for you or carry a team? And there was no one this season when they were bad. It was like the whole team was bad. Yeah. And so that was the issue. And so Sahada followed up and said, no, we're talking external here.
Their projections.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, I think that, you know, those are conversations we'll have over the course of the next 3 or 4 weeks. I think obviously, like I said before, I think I was trying to make the point that I think people always focus on the external when I think our job a lot of times is focus on the internal. How do we make our own players better? What do we need to do as an organization? What do I need to do? What do these guys need to do to put us in position to have those guys have those kind of years? Because that ultimately is how you beat projections. It's how you have a magical season is you have a bunch of guys that outperform. So you can't only rely on external additions. That was kind of the point I was trying to make.
Clearly, you can't just pick one guy and he's going to make everything better if everybody else sucks. You saw what Shohei Ohtani did. You saw what Shohei Ohtani did with the Angels, right? Mike Trout. When was the last time he was in the postseason? But to sit there and pretend like, if you put a star player on this team, if you added one big bat to this team, like that couldn't make the difference between making the postseason and not making the postseason. I think that's ridiculous.
Right. I agree with you. Yep.
But Dustin, this is the last year of Jed's contract. So he was asked about his job security. Let's give it a listen.
First of all, I think there's always pressure as professional sports. I think that's part of it. But no, I'm excited about next year. And, you know, I look at it as an opportunity. So, I feel pressure, but I feel the pressure I always should feel, which is I'm president of the Cubs, and this is an exciting opportunity and exciting time to be in this role. And we're in a really good position.
So you remember when Joe Maddon, they did the same thing. They did not give him an extension his final year of his contract. He said, it's my free agent year, right? And they let him go. And so, you know, there has to be something in Jed's head that says, hey, if let's say they don't make the playoffs in 2025. He's fired, right?
Gone. Yep.
Or do you think Tom Ricketts says, hey, this guy keeps it baseball exciting enough that fans come to the games in September, right? Because, again, the Cubs weren't really out of it until the last couple of weeks of the season. So it wasn't like it's June and you're out of it, right?
Right.
So is Tom happy that that Jed's fielding a competitive team?
Well, I think it depends how it goes, right? I think it depends how it goes. Is it close? Is it a disaster? Right? Which one is it? Were there injuries? Weren't there? What's the relationship between him and counsel at that point? It's very surprising that their deals are so different.
Let me ask you a question.
So not even close to being on the same page.
If the Cubs finish, let's say, 85 wins, which is 2 wins more than the last 2 seasons, and they don't make the playoffs again, where would you say would happen with Jed on that one?
Probably gone.
All right. Is like you? You brought up something about.
I don't want him to be gone. I don't necessarily want him to be gone. And the next question is, all right, you're running Jed out. How are you replacing him?
I think you brought up an interesting point as far as the relationship between Craig and Jed. I think Craig is in a powerful position to be the most highly paid manager. And I think that he also has a background in front office. So, you know, is Tom going to kind of listen to what Craig has to say about the situation? So to be determined. But hey, you know what, Jed, if you don't want to worry about job security, build a winner, get to the postseason, and then you don't have to sweat it, right?
You don't have to sweat it. That's for sure. That's for damn sure.